praise and adore. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His is within me, bless His holy name. He hath done great things, He hath done great things, He hath done great things, bless His holy name.
Let us bow our heads for our opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we kneel before You. We feel Your loving kindness, and we take refuge in the cover of Your protection. We know that You are the fountain of life, that the abundance of Your house awaits those who seek Your will for their lives. We recall Your words that were given to the prophet Jeremiah when You said, I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. May we likewise want what You want. May our hearts cry out for more of You. Almighty God, we thank You for leading us through the week now ending, for being our strength, for allowing us to take refuge under Your wings. We honor Your name. We honor Your instruction to remember the Sabbath day. We honor Your Son who died for us and who taught us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God's promises never fail. God never made a promise that was too good to be true. No wonder Jesus said not to worry about tomorrow. God did not create us to be self-sufficient. He created us to depend upon Him. We don't have to rush around trying to solve all our problems in just one day. We don't have to exhaust all our human problem-solving options before we turn to God as a last resort. Every trial we face is an opportunity for God to demonstrate His loving faithfulness to us. Let us not treat God's promises like a museum curiosity. Rather, let us believe God's promises and then let us use them. Indeed, listen to the words as written by the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Amen. Paul, his life was lived in a compelling style. His life gave us testimony of how to live life, gave us the testimony of how he gave everything to further God's kingdom. Paul's words are powerful, and his testimony has influenced Christians for centuries. His life is an example of giving all, giving your all for God. But really, what can we do, even remotely comparable, when Paul set the bar so high? This is it. We can say and do this: everything I am, everything I have, everything I can, everything I bring to Christ. As we give our gifts and tithes and offerings, let us consider the supreme gift that Jesus willingly gave. His earthly life was offered so that we might have eternal life.
Precious than silver, Lord, you are more costly than gold, Lord, you are more beautiful than diamond, and nothing I desire compares with you. Higher than the mountains, Lord, you are deeper than the seas, Lord, you are broader than the oceans, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you did not spare your own Son, but you delivered him for us all. And through him, you have freely given us all things. Receive these offerings, we ask, and dedicate them to your service. Enable us to yield ourselves to you with soul and spirit. May we truly and freely serve you. In your service, may we find our deepest joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the words of the Apostle Paul from Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Sometimes God comes down to us, miracle working. Sometimes God comes down to our pain, down to our problems. But God really wants us to come up to him. Jesus said, come to me, come up to my blessing, come up to my healing, come up to my peace, come up to joy, stop living down, be diligent, take one more step, keep going, don't stop, don't quit, go all the way to the top. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, we read this: now when he saw the crowds, Jesus, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Jesus liked to have mountainside teaching opportunities. In the Old Testament, mountain experiences were also not unusual. For instance, recall that before Moses climbed Mount Sinai, the Israelites said to him, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die." Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. So Moses went up the mountain to visit God alone, to the top of the mountain, where he was in a cloud of glory for 40 days, where he received the word of God. But something unholy happened down below while Moses was on the mountaintop. The people approached Aaron and said, "Come, make a God for us that shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." When you don't climb the mountain, when you don't want to pray or worship or fellowship, when you don't allow God to inhabit your praise, when you don't want to hear from God personally, something else will take the place of God in your life. When you don't talk to God, something else will slowly creep into your life and take God's place, his voice and his presence. Moses was only gone 40 days, but the Israelites concluded that he wasn't coming back. They decided to make a fake God. It seems there's always a leader who opposes what God wants. There will always be a leader like Aaron to give you what God does not want you to have. Moses was up on the mountain hearing from God while Aaron was down at the foothill listening to the people complaining. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." Wow, wasn't that a slap in God's face? The people had seen God send 10 plagues to deliver them out of Egypt, and the wealth of Egypt was placed in their hands. They saw God as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. They saw God split the Red Sea. They saw a God of miracles. And still they made a silly golden calf and said it was the God who delivered them from bondage. When you don't climb the mountain of God, you end up making your own God. And it's always something demeaning. It happens in our day. People make gods out of their cars or their fishing poles or their favorite sports. Others turn their homes or their hobbies into gods. They read all the fix-it books. They go to the specialty shops, but they never have time to read the Word of God. They are more committed to their furniture than they are to God. It's easy for any of us to make a golden calf. It starts by moving our focus and our energy away from God when the stuff of your life becomes more important than your walk with God, then you've got yourself a golden calf. Now, if you want to see the glory of God, if you want to see the real expression of God's will and plan for your life, you've got to go up. You can't live down in yourself, in your fears, or in your circumstances, or in your limitations and negative attitudes. Get up so God can begin to show his presence effectively in your life. I know what you're going to say. Pastor Michael, climbing a mountain isn't easy. It's tiring. We don't like being tired. Climbing takes diligence and effort. And most of us settle for less than God's best because we don't want to put in the effort. We don't want to take the next step or go to the next level. But God wants you to. He says it's worth it. He wants you to rise to his vision for your life. He doesn't want you to settle for okay or halfway up the mountain. He wants you to make the effort to go for the summit. But you'll need a few things first to get you there. First, you need to be part of a team. This is so true in your spiritual life. You simply won't make it to the summit by yourself. Don't try going alone. It's nearly impossible. You can't make it through the affairs of life alone without stumbling. You will stumble. That's only normal. You will face crisis events in your life, but you're not alone. You can pray, and you can call a friend. You have relationships with people who will dig in with you and hang on. That's the value of right relationships. That's why we build relationships. We don't come to church just to sing songs and go through the service. We also come to church to build relationships. But don't we also hear some people say, it doesn't matter if I go to church, because I can listen to the preacher on the TV. Really? Let me explain something to you. Church is not about televangelists or DVDs that you can listen to. Church is about relationships, having fellowship with one another and with the Lord. Get next to each other, hold hands, worship God together, have lunch together, and share with one another. You will become stronger by building godly relationships with your Christian brethren. And make sure the relationship you're building is with someone you can pace your life with. Are you around people who will help you get to the summit? You don't want relationships with people who aren't going where you are going. If the priorities of your friends are only money, image, boats, careers, or anything outside of God's will, don't expect to be in a godly relationship with them. You can't climb the mountain with a person who doesn't share your vision. You need people who you can work together with to reach the summit. People who strive to be in the center of God's will. One big, big issue in climbing your mountain is, who are you roped up with? Proverbs verse 13, chapter 13, verse 20 reads this way: he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Who are you hanging with? Is it a gossiper? Is it a negative, griping, complaining person? Is it someone who is always angry? If so, you need to find some new friends to climb your mountain with. Well, Pastor Michael, that's kind of a cold attitude. No, that's the will of God attitude. We love them, we care, we share, and we minister, but we're not hanging with them if they aren't going where we're going. If we're not going the same direction, we simply should not be roped together. That's called a tug of war. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Be careful who you are in relationship with. You are giving them the opportunity to affect your life. We don't walk alone, but be aware of whom you are walking with. You may have the will to climb up to the summit, but you also need to be prepared. Are you prepared with the Word of God, the message of Messiah Jesus? This is important because people who don't know God's Word believe nonsense. They listen to strange teaching. You must be a Word of God-based person to have a firm footing. Life gets slippery when you're not wearing the shoes of the gospel. And you can't go to the top of the mountain by yourself. You've got to have right relationships. And you need to be prepared with God's word to make it to the summit. A very familiar verse. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Now I'm going to do a little modification and change two small words in this verse. It doesn't change the impact, but it's going to fit right in. Let's read it again, changing two small words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us climb with perseverance the mountain that is set before us. During your climb, you need to throw off everything that hinders. What does a marathon runner wear when he or she runs 26.2 miles next to nothing? Skimpy shorts and a light shirt carry almost no weight at all. Why? Because when you have a hard run, you cannot afford to carry any extra weight. Likewise, as you climb the mountain God has for your life, there are some things you need to unpack and get rid of. For example, you can't carry fear if you're on your way to the summit. What are you afraid of anyway? Well, Pastor Michael, I'm afraid of terrorists. Well, okay, let's live our lives sensibly, and let's take the appropriate cautions, but let us not allow fear to control us. We can't carry fear when we're going to the top of the mountain. I'm worried about cancer. Jesus can heal cancer. I'm afraid my kids will get hurt. Something might happen to them. I have a suggestion for you. Read Psalm 91. It will teach you to trust that God's angels are commanded to guard your children. You just can't make it to the summit with fear in your backpack. Leave it at the base camp. Get rid of it if you want to go to the top. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Love that verse. Where did you get your fear anyway? You picked it up from the world. The constant harping, preaching of negativity that we hear from the world, the godless world. Take it out of your backpack if you want to go to the top. And get rid of small thinking. Put vision, faith, and hope in your backpack. Include a big mind and big thoughts. You can't make it to the top with small thinking, or with good enough thinking, or even with pretty good thinking. Get a vision for God's plan, His will for your life. God's plan for you includes a wonderful life. Forget smallness. Shake off the limitations of small thinking. And while I'm at it, you'll need to leave doubt behind also. Doubt won't get you to the summit. You can't reach the summit by saying, I hope it works. I'm not sure. You never know. I'm not sure God heals. I don't know what to do. My father had a debilitating stroke at age 59. I could say, it's a genetic thing. I'll die from a stroke too. Or I could do whatever I can to alleviate my genetic disposition and get rid of my negative attitude, get rid of my doubt and my fear. Doubt will keep me from making good decisions. Doubt will keep me from living to a healthy old age. And for goodness sake, take anger out of your backpack. It's hard to live with a heavy load of anger on your back. You're mad, you're upset, you have a short fuse. But you don't understand, Pastor Michael, I'm Irish. No, that's not it. Oh, it's because you think you're a cold-blooded, hot-headed German. Well, that's interesting, but the truth is that having a bad temper and a bad attitude happen because that's the way you think. We let ourselves get mad. Something goes wrong, and we just get mad. The light turns red, and you sputter. That stupid light. It makes me so mad sitting at this stupid red light. Well, let me tell you about a mad person. Everything can make a mad person mad. Because madness is in him or her. That's the truth of the matter. When things happen around a mad person, the anger just comes out. It's not the light. It's not the traffic. It's not the wife, and it's not the husband. The anger is in you. Your destiny will be small if you're always mad, upset, slamming doors, kicking the cat, stomping around, hollering. Take that anger out of your backpack. You're going nowhere. You won't even get out of base camp if you leave anger in your backpack. And take out your anxiety as well. What did Jesus tell us? He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. If you walk around upset, angry, frustrated, anxious, nervous, well, that's a very heavy burden. You're likely to collapse. You cannot live a victorious Christian life with these heavy burdens. Get that stuff out of your life. Lighten your backpack. You need to be Christian light. Unload the heaviness. Well, how can I, you ask me? That's just the way I am. It's the way I was raised. How can I change? It's so simple. You can break old habits of anger and negative thinking. The biggest step needed, it's the first step, is to make a decision. I'm tired of being mad at the traffic, at my kids, at the wife, at my husband. I'm just going to relax and come to Jesus. And he continued, Jesus continued, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't let past failures stay in your backpack either. Isn't it true that everybody fails numerous times? So what? We learn from our failures. Don't allow a past failure to stop you from climbing. Going nowhere is where the enemy of our souls wants us to be. Leave your failures behind. Pull them out of your back and throw them far, far away. Get rid of those heavy weights from your backpack. Get rid of fear. Get rid of small thinking and doubt and anger, anxiety. Jettison past failures and start climbing toward the summit. And you'll make it, because your shoulders will feel good. Your pack will only carry what you need to make it to the summit. You'll be carrying the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit are Christian light. And then you'll be able to climb to where God wants you to go. Your destiny is at the top. It's at the summit. And that's why you can claim victory. You can climb to the summit. Tell God today that you are unloading all those negative attitudes and bad habits that weigh you down. And soon you'll develop new good qualities. They will become habits. The fruit of the Spirit will take over. And God will transform you as you climb on your journey to the summit of His will for your life. Amen. Hallelujah.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. My blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus. Take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior holy Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine. I surrender all, I surrender. Blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender.